Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, we are excited to have Rebecca Archuleta here on our podcast. Rebecca is a rapid transformational therapist and dietless life coach who knows firsthand what it takes to rebuild a life from the ground up. After losing all 7 immediate family members, including 3 brothers to suicide, and walking away from a 17-year corporate career, Rebecca hit rock bottom. On June 10th, 2020, she woke up to an empty, silent house and realized something had to change or she might not survive. That moment became the catalyst for her own deep healing. She discovered rapid transformational therapy, reprogrammed her beliefs, and reclaimed her health, confidence, and purpose. Now, Rebecca specializes in helping high-achieving professionals break free from emotional eating, self-sabotage, grief, and the invisible blocks that keep them stuck. Blending hypnosis, psychotherapy, NLP, and cognitive behavioral therapy, and a compassionate, non-judgmental approach, she guides clients to uncover the root cause of their struggles, whether it began in childhood, the womb, or even past lives, and create lasting transformation from the inside out. Her mission is simple: to help people feel worthy, healthy, and alive again, because they matter. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell our listeners a little bit more about you and what's going on with you currently.
Well, thank you so much for a wonderful introduction. Yeah, so I am actually a Colorado native. There's not many of us out here, so it's exciting. And I used to be a traditional therapist, you know, cognitive behavioral therapist, and I chose to be a certified rapid transformational therapist because I wanted my clients to have a shorter healing curve and definitely get to the root cause of what their issues are. So we know our brain is the number one powerful engine that we have in our own bodies, and we actually program it to what we want to do. So through hypnosis, we get into the subconscious mind to get to the root cause of whatever it is that's our limiting beliefs that is hanging us up, has us stuck, and we get to transform all of that with the clients. And so they are actually doing the work the entire time. The process is a 2-hour session and they are going through it. I'm just guiding them through the process and they're doing all of the work themselves. And we go to 3 different time frames in their life where they had the struggle, for example, anxiety. And then we clear all that out together. Then we install good uplifting beliefs and action plans and mantras and what have you. Whatever comes out of the session is what we actually have at the end of it. And the secret part of this whole thing is I create a personalized audio for them at the end of the session that they have decided and are committed to listening to while they're sleeping for the 21 nights. And the reason we do that is because the subconscious mind is at its full awareness. It never goes to sleep. And the key thing is the conscious mind is sleeping. So that's the judgmental mind. So that way it's able to create the new neural pathways in the brain with the upgraded belief systems and the new mindset. So they're able to see that shift in big, powerful ways. And they're listening to it while they're sleeping, which is amazing. And then they have that audio for a lifetime. So if after beyond the 21 days, if they struggle with sleeping, they can play their personalized audio to go back to sleep. Or perhaps life has triggers, unfortunately, they can listen to that audio again and then have a reset, and it puts them right back on track.
You said so many things in there that I want to explore. And I think I want to start and go back to what you said about limiting beliefs. Can you speak a little bit to some of the main limiting beliefs people tend to hold and possibly where they come from?
Absolutely. So from 0 to 7 is the sweet spot, right? From our childhood. And that's where we take on other people's limiting beliefs. And a lot of times the most powerful ones, the underlying, I would say with over 99% of my clients is I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. I'm not safe. Those are the main ones. And they come to me for different things because they don't know they're unlovable. They don't know they're unworthy or not enough, which is all a fallacy. It is just our birthright to know that we are all of those wonderful things. Just being here on the earth is our divine birthright of just being here. So yeah, that's the main thing is not enough, not worthy, not lovable. Those are the three biggies.
Now, I'm curious to know where that manifests in our lives as adults. For example, I'm not enough. Where does that manifest in our behaviors? Where we're responding to that limited belief through our behaviors? Where do you see that showing up as adults?
As adults, a lot of it's people-pleasing behaviors. I'm not enough, so I have to people-please for people to like me. I have to people-please to be included and be asked for the different, parties or events. I have to people-please in my career, so I get picked for the next promotion. I'm people pleasing in my family, so I'm holding the peace. Everybody wants to invite me to the party or to help out with whatever activity is happening in their life. And worthiness is a huge too, because being unworthy affects everything as well. Our relationships, right? We don't pick the right partner. We pick someone that's not to our standards because we don't feel worthy. Our money. Money is directly tied to our worthiness. We have a ceiling where if we think we're only valuable enough to have maybe $50,000, that's our threshold. We will sabotage ourselves not to go beyond that $50,000. And you've heard, the different stories of people who actually were lottery winners, a $1 million winner. Oh my gosh, all this money, right? All these people come out of the woodworks and they just give the money away until they are broke. Within a year's time frame, they are back to where they started from. And they go back to their job and back to their little neighborhood restaurant or what have you. And that's comfortable. And that's where the mind is so powerful. Your mind loves what's familiar and dislikes what's unfamiliar. Even if the familiar is bad for us, it will always default to what's familiar. And that's where with rapid transformational therapy, with that listening to the audio for 21 nights, you are rewiring your brain, creating new neural pathways in the brain. So that's what's familiar. And that's really the most powerful way to upgrade your belief system, because we are leaving the old path behind, the one that doesn't value us, the unlimiting beliefs that I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable. We leave that pathway to get dirty, weeded out, that kind of thing. The upgraded new version of themselves and the audio they listen to for the 21 nights, that creates a foundation going forward. That is a paved path with upgraded beliefs. I am worthy. I am enough. I am lovable. I matter. All of those are cemented in. And that creates the new neural pathways that are familiar. So then our brain's able to focus on that instead of the past. And those empowering positive beliefs are what shift us in big ways, especially for those with addictions. So with addictions, we actually go in and we, through hypnosis, find out what is that addiction doing for that person, right? There's a reason they have that. And it's either to punish them or make them a priority. Depends on what's happening in their life, especially around childhood from like 0 to 7. And it's hidden under different things. It could even be a physical ailment. I've had a client where she had this horrible rash on her face, had gone to all these specialists, no one could find anything. And it was something that happened to one of her children when they were a child. And as a mom, she took on all of that guilt. And 35 years later, we figured out what it was. And so once she was able to figure that out, listen to that personalized audio for 21 nights, it cleared up. And now she has no issues at all with that anymore.
Yeah. What you're talking about feels so aligned with coaching, and also feels aligned with a lot of different modalities. I know you're talking about, is it RTT, the abbreviation? Is that, yeah, yeah, RTT. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about, like, there's this paradox of the science and the sacred, the spiritual and the cognitive. And it sounds like there's a way that you've been able to wed those two for healing. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that? Because we often have people who maybe specialize a little bit more in one or the other.
So the science is proven behind it, as far as like, is hypnotherapy, hypnosis, NLP, all of those, are those benefits to changing a mindset? Absolutely, 1,000%. We can see it in ourselves, especially with, when we're little kids, we learn by repetition. And that's the same thing with hypnosis. And that personalized audio, there's a lot of repetition in there because our brain loves what's familiar. It loves repetition. And that's why we get fast results. So I have clients that actually get results the next day, which is amazing. It depends on how receptive they are. If they've been through hypnosis in the past, they do meditation, they already are wired to that kind of a mindset kind of thing. So, and then the spirituality base too is, there's something beyond us. It's not just us by ourselves. There's always something beyond us, right? And so I tie that into the hypnosis recording for the individual person. And I always ask them very specific questions that are going to empower them going forward. And I put that into their personalized recording. So they, part of it is that they ask, what is for them? Is it God, source, divine, spirit? And call out on whatever pertains to them, whatever resonates with them, to ask for that help, ask for that guidance, to walk with them, to go in those rooms before them. That makes a big difference. And for those of us who have lost a lot of loved ones, their ancestors, they're with us too. Have them walk in before us into those rooms or difficult situations or crucial conversations, kind of thing, knowing that we are never alone. We're always surrounded by source, God, our ancestors. We're not the only ones here, individual. There's a lot going on behind the scenes with each individual person, especially when we call upon them. They'll be right there with us always.
Now, those are so important things to keep in mind when we're on our healing journey that we're not alone. And I'm wondering, what is the significance of 21 days?
It forms a habit. It's scientific. After 21 days consecutively doing something, you form a habit, especially when you're doing it while you're sleeping, because your subconscious mind is maxed out, right? It never goes to sleep. Like the more, over 95% of our functions is coming from the subconscious mind. And that beauty of that is because that's when the conscious mind, the judgmental mind, is sleeping. So we don't have that interference. So that's why we're doing it while we are sleeping, because you're relaxed, you're calm. Plus, I put my voice a lot lower and deeper, slower, more intentional, and it just puts you right to sleep. So when I see clients in other settings, my voice is deep that day, then they fall asleep. And so it's kind of funny because they've got that programmed into their mind from the 21 days on. And it's so refreshing to know all I have to do is just go to sleep. They do their normal bedtime routine, they push play, fall asleep to it, and that's it.
What sort of behaviors change in your clients after the 21 days, or once a transformation takes place? What do you witness as a coach when they're talking or in their behaviors?
That's a great question. Thank you for that. Immediately after the session, they open their eyes, and especially if there's been some really deep rooted trauma, they get to see this filter taken off of their eyes. I have this beautiful mural of the beach scene in my office, and the colors are so vivid and they pop. And it's like removing that filter from their eyes. Once they've gone through and figured out what is that deep trauma, remove that and then put good stuff in, right? We don't want to leave them empty. We put a lot of good stuff in there. So they see things that are more, vibrant, bright. They feel things. They're like, and they smell things. Like they can go outside, like, oh my gosh, I can smell the flowers. I see the colors. They go to a restaurant and they really enjoy their food. They're very present and more intentional, primary and foremost, immediately that, and in their body. So they're tapped in, like tuned in, tapped in into their body and mind and spirit all in one. So it goes all into alignment. Whereas before they were out of alignment. And you could tell the difference big time. And when I've seen them on the street, they're, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. This is so wonderful. I had no idea I could go to this. And most of the sessions are one session. It's a 2-hour session, and that's it. In some cases, it's three sessions. So it's very powerful what happens. And it's so transforming that, then I have great referrals from them, their friends, their family, coworkers, that kind of thing. And so even their family members will say, thank you for what you did. Like, I got my wife back. I got my husband back. I got my child back. So those are huge sources from the family and friends around them, seeing before and then after. So that's a huge validation for the client and for myself as well.
Now, those examples are so vivid. Enjoying their food, seeing colors, more bright colors. And it was such a refreshing example of the type of things that change in a kind of surprising way, because often you imagine like big changes, like, oh, they made X amount of money, or they found their dream job. But the actual day-to-day being present, how that can really change your perspective, and it can be a reflection of alignment in the way that you enjoy the little things like food, looking outside at nature. So that was really refreshing and surprising to hear that as an example of some of the things that change for clients who are more aligned.
Yes, those are the immediate changes. And then of course the long-term changes are when I'm doing, like you mentioned, money, you know, money and worthiness. That's a big one. I've done that talks at the Chamber of Commerce. I've done it at Colorado Women of Influence. And that is, it's like they actually upgraded their ceiling, their earning potential, knowing that I am worthy. And a lot of it is we attack, in a sense, we go in, we find out what are those limiting beliefs, you know, and a lot of it didn't come from them. It's from mom or dad or some other caregiver, where people who had money are snooty. People who have money are mean. People who have money are stingy. Money doesn't grow on trees. All the negative beliefs that weren't even this as a child. So we clear all of that out and we put in the good stuff. You are a good person. Having more money allows you to give more money to the causes that are near and dear to your heart. Having more money for a good person like yourself, you can go and make donations to third world countries for their water, for their schools, for big things that are really, you know, important in your life and those causes. You're able to go and sponsor a family member to go to school or a training school to improve their life. So having money is a good thing, because then if you're a good person, it makes you even better person, right? And so all of it is about the person and how they enhance themselves and the lives around them. That makes all the difference. And it's a huge mind shift, it's a huge paradigm shift in seeing, you know, how we think about money. So when I go into those classes, it's always, what is your why? It's not about how much money you want to make. It's about why do you want to make it? I want to put food on the table. I want to have generational wealth. I want to donate to these causes. Those whys that are near and dear to your heart, that's what drives you through it. That's what drives you to go out and do what we do every day. When we just want to stay in and not do anything, oh, that's my why. I'm going to actually have this money for my nephew so he can go to a trade school and provide for his own family. The whys are so important. That's what's our driving force.
Something that resonated with me when you were talking about kind of waking up to see more vibrant colors and those types of things. I write about that briefly in my book with grief, how when I was grieving the loss of my daughter, that's exactly what happened. I saw more vibrant colors. I saw colors that I didn't even know existed before, right? Those types of things. And I think there was some level of awakening. And I think that is one of the hopes and promises of grief, that it can awaken our subconscious and conscious minds to something a little bit different to maybe live a more aligned life. Can you talk a little bit about maybe how you've seen that happen, where maybe a client was a little bit different before and now they see things in a certain lens that's quite a bit different?
Absolutely. So the higher achieving client that I'm thinking about, very good at their job, you know, making, you know, seven figures. On paper, they looked amazing. Oh my gosh, this person is so successful. They're making six figures. They're top of their profession. They have a beautiful family, but they were so unhappy. They talked about a time they went and took their family to Hawaii and they couldn't enjoy it. They could not enjoy it because they're thinking about how much does this cost? What if someone gets hurt in the ocean, snorkeling, all of the negative things. Instead of being present in the moment and really valuing that time away from professional life, being unplugged away from everything that was familiar and really focusing on their family, that made a big difference because they had just come back from a family trip in Hawaii that they had been planning for years and years and years. And their spouse was, you didn't even enjoy it. We spent all this time waiting to take this family trip, saving up, planning it, and you didn't enjoy it. So then after the hypnosis thing, it was basically unworthiness. It was a deep-seated, I'm not worthy. I always have to, nothing's enough, right? I'll never have enough money. I'll never do enough, 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 enough. So we got to the root cause of it. Not worthy and not feeling enough were the two core for this particular person. And afterwards, you know, just going home, they were already present. Like their spouse was just, wow. For family dinners, they were present. The phone was put away. They created boundaries with their clients. So it's like, between this hour and this hour, this is, I'm unavailable. This is my family time. And it's non-negotiable within reason, of course. So it made a big difference knowing that the family felt like they were first. That was the number one in their life. And that's where they chose finally now to put their value, their money, their time, their effort. That's their whys, their family. But it was out of alignment prior to the hypnosis session and getting to the root cause of it, because they themselves didn't feel worthy, didn't feel enough, didn't have that growing up as a child. So I didn't have any frame of reference for it. So once they have that, wow, that's an upgrade. That's a, That's amazing. I don't want my children to grow up and think they weren't worthy, they weren't valued, they weren't enough like I did. I need to change this now while I still have a chance. And so they were able to do that. Their children were in junior high and high school. And so they were able to do that in a big way and actually create a life where their kids wanted to be around them. You know, they sought them out for advice and just to hang out. Like, hey, you know, hey dad, let's just go hang out and do something fun, which they had never done before. You know, hey dad, what do you think about this? Oh my God, that's new. They always went to mom and now they're going to dad. And that was just like, wow, you gave me my family back. You gave me an opportunity to really enjoy them and embrace life with them before they take off to college or out adulting in the world. Whereas before, had they not done that, they would have missed out on all of it. So it's very powerful.
I think that's an example of the you can have both within reason, right? It's not either or. And I think going back to that limiting belief of not being worthy enough, I see how that resonates with a lot of the people I work with and even myself, that worthiness. So I can't have both, but you can. You may have to have some level of negotiation, some level of recalibration, right? But I like all the hope and the authenticity that this message delivers from your practice. And I could see so many clients just resonating with it on with any type of need, right? Whether that's the limiting beliefs or grief or something else. So maybe describe your ideal client then.
Absolutely. So my ideal client is somebody who has done the things. They've been to traditional counseling, they've been to EMDR, they've done Reiki, they've done all the things, and something still isn't shifting. There's just something off and they can't figure out what it is. That's my ideal client because that means it's deep-rooted trauma and they have to go into the subconscious mind to get to the root of it. Because all those other modalities will never touch it because your brain is number one job is to protect you. So on the surface level, it keeps you protected. It keeps that trauma buried deep, so you're not aware of it. But it's you're not going to be fully living. You're not going to be fully present. It's just a like a buffer kind of thing. And so those are my ideal clients who have tried everything and is still not shifting it.
Yeah, that really resonates. Like if you have different healing modalities can touch on different things, but it does seem like accessing the subconscious is really going to be focusing on or really get to the root cause of things. And it has to do with trauma. Can you speak a little bit about trauma? I know that it's out there. You know, a lot of people are talking about trauma. They're talking about childhood trauma. They're talking about post-traumatic stress, that kind of thing. So, can you speak a little bit about trauma?
Absolutely. Yeah. Trauma is, it's so deep-seated. And majority of the time, you know, I have clients who actually were even in the womb when they took on their mom's trauma. And so they don't even realize, why am I off? Like I was just born off. They never felt right in their bodies. They never felt right in society. And the trauma is buried deep. That's the brain's number one job, to protect us so then we can function in the world. We can't be at fight or flight all the time. And it's important to know that because I, you know, when I experienced, oh, you know, all the deaths of my brothers, so tragically, all of them had completed suicide, two of them really close together. And so you're just, for years, I was in fight or flight mode because I was helping care for my parents. I had my last brother who was still alive. All of us grieved differently. And that was really tough for me because all of the family members were alcoholics and they were coping, and that's how they coped with life. Instead of going to counseling and that kind of thing, they didn't believe in that. I'm from a traditional Hispanic family, Catholic family. It's like, oh, that's unheard of. We're not going to air a business. We're not going to let people know what's happening. Keep it hush hush. It's behind closed doors. And by them doing that, this is what the tragedy happened, right? Nobody said anything. Nobody talked about anything. So my brothers, they didn't feel worthy enough, loved, purpose, none of those things. Even though they were surrounded by people that loved them, they themselves didn't feel it. And nobody talked about it. So, you know, especially as children, when they are reprimanded, they never forget, they never stop loving the parent or the caregiver. They stop loving themselves. And so, my family, no one loved themselves. It was always talking over each other, always trying to get attention, always trying whatever kind of thing. And so, the trauma is buried very deep. And so, especially in childhood. And so, we grow up in life that way. And it's interesting to think about, we have all these 8-year-old adults walking around because a lot of the time our trauma is, you know, from 8 years and under. Even though we keep grow, we're still like the mentality is a child. And so I, myself too, I didn't realize that until I went and did the deep dive of work, went through hypnosis. And then even with all of that, I still was, there's still something off, even with all of that. And for me, it was adult children of alcoholics. A friend said, go to this class. And I had no idea what that was, never heard of it. And it's similar to secondhand smoke, which I had that as a child. Everyone in my family smoked. But even though I wasn't an alcoholic, I took on the characteristics of being an alcoholic because I was surrounded by alcoholics growing up. So once I figured that out, I saw the 14 traits of the laundry list for adult children of alcoholics, and I was every single one of those. And it was a validation, like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. And yet it was really sad because, oh my God, I'm not alone. Like all these people are the same thing. And just again, like you mentioned earlier, it's nice not being alone. There's always other people around us. And so I did the deep dive last year. I found an amazing sponsor and we did the 12 steps of adult children of alcoholics. And then we dove into the Loving Parent Guidebook, which was so powerful because that gave me the answers to why I did or didn't do the things I did. And then the Loving Parent Guidebook is I was my own loving parent. So I went into my own internal childhood and was the parent for my child, inner child, the parent for my teenager. And was able to validate them. And they were so excited because it's like, oh my gosh, finally. I'm in my 50s now and I didn't know any of that. And so what a huge blessing that was to be able to travel that journey with an amazing sponsor. And we both upgraded our lives in big ways, like quantum leaping beyond what you could ever think of in a year's time frame, really doing the deep dive and doing the work, going through it. If you go through something like that, the steps are simple, but not easy. They outline it. So it seems, oh, this is so simple. But then you do the deep dive and it's not easy. And you struggle. Sometimes you're on a step for 2, 3 weeks, depends on what it is and what you've gone through. But going through it to be on this side of it, oh my God, what a blessing. Like life can be this. Like the colors are so vibrant and life is so vibrant. And to laugh, like a really gut belly laugh is amazing and have that energy. That excitement when you go out and do something, your energy is contagious. People like are magnetized to you. Like, what have you been doing? Like, what's going on in your life? And I'm excited to share it. Like, there is hope on the other side of this. It's worth going in and doing the work and getting through it. And that's where it's tough to see in those rooms where some people don't do the work and they've been in those rooms for decades and they just sit there and it's like, oh my gosh, why would you do that? When you're going through hell, you keep going. You don't stay there. You keep going. So it's great to have that hope for people and to know you can get on the other side of it. You got to do the work, but you can get there.
Yeah, I love this idea of what you have spoken to through the 14-step program because it requires, like you said, the work, but it also requires the companionship, right? The sponsor and then the community of people. And so I think sometimes people get stuck because they feel like they're alone, even when people are around them. So I'm just going to ask an inspirational question on your end. Who inspires you and why?
My future generations inspire me. So, like my great nephews and nieces, who I'm the first generation college graduate. And so I did that for myself, of course, but more so for the future generations because I wanted them to know it doesn't matter what family you were born into, you can change that. It's your choice. Because when I was starting that journey, it put a big wedge in my family. My parents were the opposite. Oh, you think you're too good for us. You think you're better than us. It took a big wedge. And that wasn't the case at all, And I even told them, I said, the life you've chosen is fine. You have a beautiful life, but I want something different. And that's okay for me to want something different. And they didn't agree with it. They said, just buckle up, just enjoy it. This is the cards we've been dealt. Just be happy with it. And so I completely shut down. So with my own family, I completely shut down. My light was dimmed. It was black. It was kept in a box. So I still kept doing my thing on the side, just not letting them know about it. And I continued to do that for the future generations because I knew it was not going down a good path. We had already had suicides in the family already. So I took it on myself to, it ends with me. Like that was my motto. It ends with me. For whatever reason, I chose that. And being the youngest and only girl, I have like a warrior spirit behind me because there's ancestors behind me. There's some warrior blood in there, I know for sure. So, and now I see my great nephews and nieces. They're doing the work. They are graduated from college. They're very prominent people in their neighborhoods. they're making huge differences as well, which is beyond what I ever expected. And they're doing an amazing job, so.
That's wonderful to hear that the younger generation inspires you. That resonated with me because being a model for the younger generation, and like you said, ending that cycle through example and doing it, even though there's some resistance on the older generation side, just for your nieces and nephews to see that. And then that it's really influenced the way that they behave and the way that they show up in the world. I think that's beautiful. And I want to extend that idea because this has come up. I think this is a theme in what we've been talking about, how when we change, it affects our loved ones. It affects the people around us. Like you were saying about your clients whose spouses and children say, "Oh, my dad's back," or my wife's back," or and just knowing that we affect the people around us. It's not just our loved ones, but it can also be our community as well. You mentioned that your nieces and nephews are prominent members of their communities, their neighborhoods. So where do you see this work that you do reverberating out, not only in the families of your clients, but in the community?
Yeah, that's a great comment. And so for me, I always, let people know we have no idea the influence we have on people around us and the ripple effect, because it really is a ripple effect. So like when I am working with a client and they're upgrading their belief system and are changing their lives for the better, it's not just that individual's life, it's their everybody, all the lives that they touch is improved. So it's their immediate family members, their coworkers, their community. It's paying it forward in big ways. And so that's the beautiful part of it. Because when you don't even have to say anything, when you're changing, you can keep it to yourself privately. It's going to show, right? Because you show up differently. You show up fully present. You show up smiling. You show up purposeful. And when you are solid within yourself and you fill your cup to overflowing and you give from the overflowing cup, that's your best self. And everybody wants your best self. It's contagious, right? It's exciting. It's electric. So it's everyone, what are you doing? You don't have to say anything. They just come to you and ask you.
I love that. I think we're getting closer to circling in on a coaching nugget of wisdom. So at the end of each of our episodes, we have a coaching nugget of wisdom that we share that's based on what we've learned by talking through this episode. So typically, LaShawn and I will share something, and then Rebecca, you'll share something at the end. I guess I can go ahead and go. And I want to kind of go back to where you started with the subconscious mind. And I like this idea of training the subconscious mind while you sleep. I think that would resonate with a lot of people because it's fairly easy to do, but it does deep work. So I would encourage listeners to try meeting with Rebecca or someone like her to have a meditation like that in the evenings or through their sleep. I think that could be really beneficial and cause a lot of positive change in the world.
Oh, that's a beautiful invitation. I also want to speak about how certain different healing modalities can help us in different ways. And often, when we're in our healing journey, we get to a point where, as Rebecca mentioned, her ideal client, you get to a point where there's a missing piece, or you kind of reach a glass ceiling in your journey. So, if you are one of those people who has done all the modalities, who's tried all the different healing practices, and you feel like there's something missing, I would encourage you to think about where else you can explore. Is it your subconscious? Is it a trauma that you may not be aware of, or that is affecting your healing journey? So be open to other modalities and exploring other ways to deepen your healing. Okay, Rebecca, do you have a coaching nugget of wisdom to share?
I think for being, a rapid transformational therapist for the last 3 years, I would say the main takeaway is what we say to ourselves is the most powerful thing. And I even, encourage my clients after the 21 days to record their own mantras because it's in their voice and their mindset. And so the words we say to ourselves are the most powerful. So definitely speak to ourselves as if we were, in a sense, speaking to our little 5-year-old us with love, encouragement, kindness, and support. Always is going to increase our self-esteem and our self-respect, always, and put us on the right path to where we want to go.
Thank you so much. We have been speaking with Rebecca Archuleta. She is a rapid transformational therapist and dietless life coach. Rebecca, can you please tell our listeners where they can find you?
Absolutely. Yes, I have my website, and it's Because You Matter, Healing by Rebecca. I also am on Google Business. You can find me in Google Business. I have a office in Fort Collins, Colorado, and also I can do it on Zoom, so anywhere around the world as well. So you can reach out to me at either of those locations, and or Facebook. I'm also on Facebook. You can instant message me, TikTok, and also Instagram.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.